everyone, this is Dawn with the Nash Chat, and I am thrilled to have Emily Chapman Richards from Show Hope with us here today. Hi, Emily.
Hello, Dawn. Thanks so much for having me.
Definitely. Well, it was such a pleasure to meet you at Show Hope's Fellowship Weekend, and we've got to bump into each other at the grocery store and around town, but I'm looking forward to diving deeper a little bit today and learning more about you and Show Hope.
Awesome. Yes, I know. It has been so much fun seeing you around town, like running into a friend, which is great. Yes, thanks again for having me.
Definitely. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and Show Hope.
Yeah, so I am in my 30s, we'll say that, which is crazy now.
I'm holding on to that too.
I know. So we'll just say I'm in my 30s, which I just read a interesting article in the news the other day that was like, new study reveals that you're not truly an adult until you're in your 30s. I'm like, okay, I like that. I guess I'm an adult now.
Like, okay. Yeah, we'll take it.
We'll take it. Whatever makes me feel young. But yeah, I am a Nashville native, born and raised here, actually in Franklin, and married a Franklin native, which is funny. Yeah,
we did. Unicorns.
We're totally rare nowadays in Nashville, but we didn't know each other growing up. We kind of grew up on opposite sides of Franklin and met when I was home one summer from university. I went to Baylor University in Texas and met on a blind date at the Cool Spring Starbucks. Crazy things happen there.
Oh.
And the rest is history. But yeah, so I'm a Nashville native, the oldest daughter of Mary Beth and Stephen Curtis Chapman. So grew up, you know, very much so in the music kind of world of Nashville with my dad's music career. I have two biological brothers and then three sisters that came home through adoption from China. And then Tanner and I met when I was, like I said, in university. And we met in 07 and we were married in 08. And now, so we've been married, I guess, 10 and a half years. And we've got three little girls. Eileen is 7 and Della is soon to be 5. And Verity is 4. Oh, she's 3. She'll be 4 this summer. And I currently am serving as the executive director at Show Hope, which is a nonprofit my parents founded in the early 2000s. So we're kind of, you know, doing it all.
My husband, busy.
Yeah, a little busy, but you know what? We're having a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Well, you have such a beautiful family, you know, your family you grew up with and your family now. And I love just learning more about you guys.
Thank you. Yeah.
So tell our listeners, what exactly is Show Hope and what's the mission behind the organization?
Yeah, definitely. So Show Hope is a nonprofit organization that's based here in Franklin, just south of Nashville. We were founded in 2003, really after we came home in welcoming my sisters into our family through adoption from China. And they were adopted at three different times, but kind of out of that experience, this idea was birthed that we really never thought money should stand in the way of families that would be willing to adopt in children that deserve and need to have a family to grow up in. And so my parents co-founded Show Hope in 2003 to give Christian families financial assistance to overcome that barrier to adoption, because a lot of people consider adoption, but finances is often one of the first things that families cite as kind of deterring them from completing or going through with the process, because it can be domestic intercountry adoption kind of averages anywhere between $25,000 and $50,000. And so that's a really, really large sum of money just on the front end to even see the process through. And then knowing that a lot of our kiddos that come home through adoption that have experienced early loss or trauma, need unique services or unique therapies, specialized tutoring for school, et cetera. And that is a financial commitment a lot of families are willing and can make, but it's that first sort of initial sum and hurdle to get over to complete the process that a lot of families just kind of don't see a way around. And so that's really the heart behind Show Hope. We exists to care for orphans by engaging the church and reducing barriers to adoption. And so we are founded, again, like I said, really with a primary heartbeat to give financial assistance to prospective adoptive families. And to date, we've been able to help a little over 6,000 children come home through adoption aid grants over our last 16 years of work. And then we kind of expanded into three additional areas of work. So we have adoption aid, which is the grants, and then care centers, which is we financially support four care centers in central China that care for orphans that have medical, that are medically fragile. So they have physical and intellectual disabilities and need unique and specialized care. So we've cared for a little over 2,600 kiddos through the last 10 years that we've been operating our care centers in China. We'll actually, as a family, be in China this summer to celebrate the 10-year kind of anniversary of Maria's Big House of Hope, which is our flagship care center there. And then we expanded into pre and post adoption support, which we really seek to equip parents on the adoption journey, because we know that adoption doesn't end the day a child comes home, but it's a lifelong commitment and journey. And we want our families to feel like they're prepared and supported in that. And so we scholarship professionals annually to attend TBRI practitioner training at the Care and Purvis Institute of Child Development in Fort Worth, Texas, and try to kind of just get resources in the hands of those that touch the life of a child to be better equipped to help children who've experienced early trauma really thrive and flourish. And then student initiatives, kind of to bring it all home, you know, Show Hope really started out of an experience we as a family had in bringing Shoei and Stevie Joy and Maria home through adoption, but that all started out of a trip that my mom and I took to Haiti when I was really young, 11 years old. And from that trip really started kind of championing the idea of adoption in our family and praying that God would kind of move in my parents' heart and ours as a family to consider the idea of adoption, which is what eventually led, kind of was the catalyst, I would say, behind our family pursuing intercountry adoption. And so we hold a special spot in our heart here at Show Hope for Student Initiatives, because we believe that students are not only the leaders of tomorrow, but the world changers of today. And so we take trips to China to our care centers with students, and we have devotional content that kind of leads students. You can do like in a youth group setting or a Girl Scout setting or college kind of D group setting that explores God's heart for orphans and what you can do to make a difference. So that's kind of what we do.
Wow. Well, what a beautiful picture of really caring for orphans. And I love that this was placed on your heart as an 11-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, I mean, you couldn't have dreamed that you and your family would have been able to be such a resource for so many children and so many families out there. I just applaud you guys for looking at all the different avenues, because like you say, it's not just, you know, getting them home. There's so much more involved in the process, and it's a healing journey, not only for those children, but their parents and learning alongside of them. So I just, I'm so thankful to you guys that you have those programs in place all across the board.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's been a journey, right? Like where I think there's something to the whole idea in scripture where God, where it talks about being, you know, a light into our feet, because in our path, because I think there's something to, like, if there was a floodlight on where the journey was going to take you when you stood at the beginning of the road, I think a lot of us with probably any of our stories would be like, is there a different road that I could travel on? And I think that
is there an easier path,
right? As beautiful as obviously as beautiful, which I can't even overstate that this journey has been, there's obviously been parts that like, whoa, I think, you know, would have definitely, had we known on the front end that the journey would take us even just into the heart of these stories that some of our little ones that come home that have experienced early institutionalization, or just the sadness of grieving the loss of biological mom and dad, and just having to really wrestle with that, and just part of the brokenness of our world, and yet the beauty and family coming together through the miracle of adoption. You know, I think that we maybe would have like, okay, this is all right. This is a big commitment, but you know, God took our passion and our excitement and our desire just to see more children really in families. And he ran with that. And we had a dream and a hope that we'd be able to help 100 families. I can remember sitting around the dining table in high school and mom and dad being like, wouldn't it be so awesome if we could help 100 families adopt? And we were all like, yeah, that'd be epic. And and then I'll never forget being stopped by the first Show Hope grant family. We were in Disney World actually as a family. And, you know, growing up with a dad who was known through his music, it wasn't uncommon for us as a family to get stopped by strangers. And it was always tied to dad's music and, you know, such and such song really spoke to me or helped me through a hard season, or, you know, my wife and I danced I Will Be Here at Our Wedding, you know, those things. So we're really used to that. So I can remember we were at what was MGM Studios at the time, right outside of the Little Mermaid like show. And this family stopped us. And we kind of all were like, okay, here it goes. They want a picture with dad. We know how this goes. And they were like, no, we're a Show Hope family. This is our Show Hope baby. You helped us bring this little one home. And they turned the stroller around and our whole family just started jumping up and down, squealing in Disney World. Like,
oh my goodness.
It was a family, because at first Show Hope was families we kind of knew through the grapevine that we were helping, you know, fund adoption expenses. And then when it started to like become less insular and was, you know, growing nationwide, it was like, this is insane. Like, God is gonna like take this dream and it's maybe bigger than we thought. So it's very humbling. And obviously without God's grace, wouldn't be standing here.
Well, you know, I think that adoption is such a beautiful picture of the gospel, of just how, I don't know, how broken the world is, but with love, so beautiful. And that is just amazing to be able to, you know, firsthand see these kids coming home and out of a place, you know, where they don't have a family into a family. And I love how family oriented your family is in being in Show Hope, how you all kind of work together. That was one thing I was in awe of at the fellowship weekend. You just all seem to be so close and so involved. Can you tell us a little bit or give us insight as to the family dynamics?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. We're all super proud and humble to be a part of the work of Show Hope. I do think it's really unique how all of our family carries a unique passion for the work. At some point in time, most of us have been involved, if not formally, informally with the work. So my brother, Caleb, used to be on staff. He kind of did all of our first videos and when we were just a mom and pop nonprofit and nobody really knew who we were, he was doing all of our videos before him and Will Franklin started traveling kind of formally with their band Colony House. My sister-in-law Julia works in the finance department here for some time. My sister-in-law Jillian worked with the social media team. My mom and dad are here weekly in meetings. Shoei is interning this summer for us in China. I was with my brothers this weekend meeting with some donors in Houston, and they took time out of their schedule to be with us. And it is true, you know, our family, we have experienced a lot together, good and hard. And I think that's just really brought us close to understand that there's very few things when we kind of come to the end of ourselves or the end of even our time here on earth that matter more than family and love and relationship and pointing people through our love that we have with one another to the ultimate love of Christ. And I think, you know, as hard as it can be at times, because you know your family so well that your family can irk you or whatever at times, ultimately we know that we know that we're together, and so it is really special to know that it's something that as a family, I mean, Show Hope is not a family foundation technically, it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization, but to some degree it feels kind of like this amalgamation between a nonprofit and a family foundation where there is a lot of input and involvement and passion and care from the Chapman family into this work?
Because really, you know, the idea came on your heart on your trip to Haiti, but your parents really had to embrace it. And then, you know, moving forward with it and listening to what was ultimately God's call on your family to adopt and then continue to adopt to other children also. And then, yeah, it seems just like everybody has been on board. And I love that everyone's served in some capacity. Mm-hmm. What a beautiful legacy that your family has created. Mm-hmm. And to leave behind just one of love and inspiration and encouragement. So I'm just giving y'all a big hug.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
In the world of adoption, have you seen it change a lot? I know, you know, some countries have different laws. What are some of the ways you've seen it change or grow? You know, it seems like there's much more awareness of adoption and people are, you know, I don't know. I feel like growing up, I really didn't know anyone who had been adopted or who was adopting. And now it's, you know, much more common and you are hearing of those. But what are some of the ways that that world has changed since you all have started Show Hope?
Yeah, that's a great question. First and foremost, I definitely echo what you just said. I mean, a greater awareness of adoption as an option in building your family and expanding your family through adoption is certainly probably the biggest change I've seen over the last, my trip to Haiti was in 1997. So over the last kind of 22 years, that's probably the biggest change is that it has much more commonplace in daily conversation and the way in which parents and people are considering growing their family. I think technically, if you want to like get in the weeds, inter-country adoption, and this is not like any new news, but inter-country adoption numbers have slowed down pretty significantly over the last 15 years. So in the height of inter-country adoption was in the early 2000s. I think it was Shoei came home in 2000, and I think it was 2002 where the United States kind of issued the most visas for children that were coming home to America through intercountry adoption. And that year it was about 20,000 visas that were issued. 2015 or 16, which is the last fiscal year, we have hard data and numbers on the U.S. issued a little over 5,000 visas for children coming home through intercountry adoption. So you've seen intercountry adoption slow down. Like you said, certain countries, that's because some countries are putting regulations on themselves. Our Department of State might put certain parameters around countries that they're not sure to what level ethical adoption is being conducted. And so they ask questions. Obviously, we don't want children to be trafficked. And so we have these regulatory bodies in place to try and protect against that for good reasons. And so, you know, that's been a big change. But on the converse of that, I would say with the we've got inter-country adoption slowing down, but you have much more discussion around domestic adoption, much more open conversation around open adoption and the health, the healthiness that that can provide for a child, biological mother, father, adoptive mother and father. And so you have a greater just discussion. You have more data around psychology of children, attachment theory, all these types of things. And so I think there's just a much richer dialogue that's happening about adoption, not only an awareness, but deeper than that, an understanding. And so I'm thankful for that.
Absolutely. What are some things, some advice or encouraging words you would give to prospective adoptive parents? I think I shared with you that my husband and I, we started down the adoption road and it just seemed kind of like the doors were closing on international adoption, which is what we started the path with. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I remember being so excited and I called our local Department of Social Services and said, hey, I would love, you know, to get an application to adopt. And they said, well, we're not taking applications for 6 months. Call us back, you know, wow. And it was just such a defeating feeling for myself, you know, great that there's so many people who have started their process that they have too many applications. But it can be kind of started with, you know, some discouragement. So what are some things that you would say, hey, if you are thinking about adopting, here are some kind of steps to a a healthier or more, you know, resourceful path to get started on?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Thanks for your vulnerability even in opening up about you and your husband's journey. You know, I think when you stand on the bank of the river, if you will, the adoption river, the foster care river, the river that is kind of wrapping around a child that's in need of permanency and family. I think there's some key questions to ask yourself and some key information to gather before you jump in the river, because at some point there's going to be rapids in the river. And for you guys, it was pretty early on. And for other families, maybe it's a couple of months or years even, or maybe 10 years in before the rapids are class 5 and you're going, was I sure I was supposed to jump in this river? Because this is really hard to swim in, you know? And I think some of those questions are, you know, are you and your spouse on the same page? Or if you're pursuing adoption as a single parent, are you and your family or your community of support kind of in the same boat, on the same page as you move forward in pursuing caring for a child? Because there are undoubtedly, there's a unique skill set that we talk about, a unique skill set that our parents need to have that are welcoming children home, that have experienced just early loss and trauma, which all of our kiddos have if they've lost that connection with biological mom and dad. Even in the best of circumstances, that's still a loss, right? That needs to be grieved. And so I think you want to know that there's solidarity with the people that, that are walking through life with you. And then there's practical questions to ask, you know, is it intercountry adoption? Is it domestic adoption? Is it domestic adoption through a private agency, through a nonprofit agency? Is it a private adoption just with attorney, you know, our attorney and birth mother's attorney? Is it open? Is it closed? Is it semi-open? Is it foster care? Is it foster care to adopt? There's all these questions. Show Hope, we have a website that we kind of help facilitate all the content called howtoadopt.org, which is a great place to start. And I love to point people there because it kind of gives you a lot of food for thought on these questions, how to interview adoption agencies, how to find an agency that's right for you, these questions to consider. And so I think there's a lot of conversation to be had, and to know that you've got that support around you. And then as a person of faith, I think that, praying and really leaning into what God has for you and what it looks like, I think is super important, because we often say here at Show Hope, not everyone's called to adopt, but everyone's called to do something. We believe in James 1:27, when God talks about that pure and undefiled religion is to care for orphans and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We like take that and we think, okay, what does that mean for everyone to care, to do something to care? And so, you know, if you are praying through adoption and if it doesn't feel like maybe that's what's right for you, or the doors do close, there's always ways that families that are adopting or are caring for a child through foster care need wraparound support. Think about taking them a meal. Think about taking some of their other kiddos and doing an activity so that they can have one-on-one time with their child that's come home through adoption or foster care. You know, there's unique ways to wrap around families that do seem to be on the front lines that need your help and support just as much.
Definitely. And, you know, after sort of our journey kind of came to a halt with adoption, we ended up moving here to the Nashville area. And it's just seemed, you know, we've been in a lot of transition over the years, but that's what we've tried to do, is just be aware of those who are adopting or fostering, you know, just to be available, be their community, be the hands and feet too. And like you said, take a meal, or if it's a small baby, take diapers, or, uh-huh. you know, just mm-hmm. offer up help in any way.
Yeah. There's a lot
because
of
it is. It's
sorry. There's okay. a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of great, I was going to say, like, even outside of family, like contacting your local DCS office, a lot of times, especially at Christmas time and graduation time, DCS offices will throw like Christmas party or graduation party for kids that are being cared through foster care. And they always are looking for like not only donations for like gifts to give to the kiddos, but also, you know, come help us decorate, or we need theme ideas for the party this year. Like, there's really fun ways to get involved to help. Like, we always are, our family every year at Christmas time, there's a program here in Williamson County and in Davidson County where you can sponsor a child that's in foster care and help provide the foster family with gifts for that child. So that's just one way to help. You know what I mean? So there's really unique and creative ways to get involved that doesn't mean, you know, the adoption process didn't pan out for us, so I guess we just won't do anything. You know what I mean? There's other ways to get involved.
Well, what are some ways that listeners can get involved with Show Hope? What are some different things, you know, even if they're not looking to adopt, some ways that they can support your organization?
Well, I would welcome everybody and encourage everybody to visit our website, showhope.org. One of the fun ways we have right now of just trying to get people involved that makes it a little bit, I mean, you can always donate. There's a donate button right there. But another way that's kind of more fun and sort of gets your community involved is we're doing a campaign right now to donate your birthday to Show Hope. And so we have like peer-to-peer fundraising platform through Show Hope. So you can create your own little page through Show Hope's website that's like your birthday page and sort of send that out to your friends around the time of your birthday and kind of instead of getting gifts or like, okay, I don't need another Starbucks gift card. Like, will you just consider giving $10 to Show Hope for my birthday? And you can kind of track like your friends, you can kind of track like, here's what my birthday raised for Show Hope. And it's kind of a fun way to get your community involved and your friends involved, especially if they've never heard about Show Hope, and a way for you to sort of serve as like grassroots movement, you know, getting the word out about the work of Show Hope, but also feel like, you know, giving back in the sense of, maybe we don't need, you know, but at least for me, I'm like, okay, thank you for, you know, another candle. I'll give this to Show Hope. So that's kind of a fun, really practical way. But then there's always like, I mean, we always need volunteers. We always need supplies to be sent to the care centers. There's a list on our website. You can see like, we're always in need of Destin diaper cream and like things like this to send over. Cause at any given time, we've got about 225 kiddos in our care in China. And so we're constantly needing specialized, you know, medicine, or, you know, maybe like we always need socks with the grippies on the bottom because it's hardwood floors all throughout the care centers in China. So we don't need babies slipping all over the place when they're learning to walk, you know, little things like that.
Well, you just think of how many things you need for one baby, much less 200 at a time. So right. That gives you a little perspective of the amount of, you know, diapers and creams and things like that you could use.
Yep.
Well, Emily, I know you stay busy with your family and with Show Hope. What are some ways that when you're taking some time off, that you and your family, some of your favorite places are around Nashville?
Ooh, that's a great question. So we like to go, we like to drive down the Natchez Trace and kind of do the little stop offs and do some little hikes, you know, by the creeks or the waterfalls. And so that's always a fun thing, just getting outdoors with the kiddos. We love Carton Plantation because I will tell you, it used to be there was a golf course next to it. And then the plantation, they like took the golf course back over and made it this big open field, but they left the concrete golf course trails. And so you can take your kiddos' bikes and it's super wide and they can ride their bikes, but it's nowhere near the road. And if they like crash, it's just in the grass. So it's awesome. it's just outside.
That's a great tip. And we've not done that.
You got to do it. It's so great because it's like they can just ride and they're not going to get lost. The worst that's going to happen is they're going to ride off into the grass and you'll eventually catch up with them. And you're not stressed that they're near, you know, cars or anything. So we love, it's just right outside of downtown Franklin. So we love going there and you can take a picnic blanket and pull off, you know, and pull off the path and have a nice picnic. So we like to go there quite a bit. And then the zoo is always, it's always a win with the kiddos. So you can't go wrong. Although I've not seen the new bear exhibit, but apparently it's awesome. So I got to get down there with the kids. But those are kind of some of our top fave places, and Plaza Mariachi is just the best for a fun Friday night with the kids. You kind of never know what's going to happen at the Plaza.
So I keep suggesting that to people. I'm like, well, but it's hard to describe what it is. I say, you know, it's sort of like a Latino mall a little bit, but that doesn't paint the picture of what it is. It's just awesome. Have to try it out.
I just got my brothers to go for the first time, and they're like, they're on tour right now, but every time they're back in town, even if it's for 24 hours, they're like, hey, you think in Plaza tonight? I'm like, yes, I love it. You've been bit by the bug. All parents.
Well,
like,
hey.
Yeah. So great.
I mean, they have that little kids area that's like $5 and they can play all the games. And I don't know, the acrobats coming down from the ceiling, the live music, you can't beat it.
Nope, you can't. And there's the little grocery store just in case you need eggs on your way out. Like you can get eggs. It's perfect.
Well, maybe I'll see you over there sometime.
This sounds good.
Well, share, if you can, one more time, your website, your social media outlets, where everyone can find you online.
Yes. You can find me, most of my time is at Show Hope, so showhope.org. And then my personal website, emilychapmanrichards.com. And I don't know my social media handles.
That's a good thing.
I'll have to get those to you, and you can put them in maybe the notes of the podcast.
Oh, you're good.
I think.
Well, thank you, Emily, for taking the time to be here with us today.
Of course. Thank you, Dawn. I so appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye.
Be here.